Okay, great. This is our last shir on this first sugya of Chinuch Ketanim. Right, as we pointed out, just in terms of, you know, the breakdown of analyzing the application of Chinuch to the realm of Yom Kippur, we basically pointed out that it's a good way of organizing the sugya is to really analyze each of the four categories in a distinct fashion. First, we did, starting around from top to bottom, in terms of age order, starting with Hashlamat Daraisa. Then we went to Hashlamat Darabanan, and now we're up to Chinuch L'Shalos. Fine. So just important to note that it's clear from the Gemara, and really in all the Rishonim, that everybody agrees to the notion of Chinuch L'Shalos and Tamsin Kippur. Right? We pointed out, while Hashlamat Darabanan was Machokes, everybody agrees that there is a concept of Chinuch L'Shalos. And Chinuch L'Shalos, as is clearly explained in the Braisa, four lines down over here. Anyone want to have the Gemara open? Quick sentence description of Chinuch L'Shalos. Anyone have it?
We'll win. Here it is.
Sibah Tanya.
Where are we on?
Where are you?
Pei Beis Amin Aleph. Right over here. Four wide lines down.
Batanya. Eza Chinuch. What is Chinuch? Hayraga Lachal B'Shtei Shalos. A child normally eats after 2 hours. Bal Chinuch L'Shalos. We feed him after three. B'Shalos B'Chinuch L'Barba. For if he uses three, we feed him after four.
Okay, so that's basically just the basic description of what Chinuch L'Shalos is. It basically doesn't, you don't fast the entire day, but you try to, you know, stretch, you know, the kid past his limit, just so he also recognizes, you know, that something is different.
What's the reason that we need to say, like, estimate 2 to 3 and 3 to 4? And then it also
said,
it also says about, like, whatever you normally do
at
an hour.
Yeah, I think sometimes the Gemara, that's just like its way of describing. If you do one, then it's less clear that that's just.
No, I'm saying for anyways, you say you're adding on an extra hour. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's there.
Yeah, that one says it. Yeah, it's probably wrong. So here, I think it just gives two examples just to say this is the clock. And you give one, is that like that? No, specifically that. No, it becomes clear that this is like, you know, there's like a theme. Always adding an added hour.
Oh, yeah.
So yes,
we do.
Yeah.
So this
hour only
line
if
up
what
the hours line up to.
Yeah, I think I remember as a kid there was, you know, sure, like whenever you normally eat, just wait a little bit more. We try to do that again at age 9. You get to see the other way. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, not too early. We'll get to that next. So just to analyze a couple of different issues within Chinuch L'Shalos. So the first one is more of the technical, just to summarize, because the Shach Mitar is a little confusing, just in terms of the timing of Chinuch L'Shalos. How, you know, how many years, for how many years does a child do Chinuch L'Shalos? So again, there are two approaches here. The first approach is that there are 2 years of Chinuch L'Shalos, both for a Cholet and for a Bari. This is clear both from Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, according to Rashi. It gets a little confusing, but if you think about what's going on there, we'll read it inside in just a moment, because it's very clear that the difference between Chola and Bari is in terms of Hashlamat Darabanan, but everybody agrees, both Chola and Bari get 2 years of Chinuch L'Shalos. Just to read it quickly, just Rav Huna, Ben Ches, Uben Tes, Mechan Kanos on L'Shalos, start either at 8 or 9, and then the next thing of Shalom Darbanan starts at Ben Yud and Yud Aleph. So again, Ches to Yud is 2, and Tes to Yud Aleph is also 2. So again, Bein Bari Bein Chola, it's 2 years of Chinuch L'Shalos, and the same is for Rav Huna according to the Rif. Again, similarly the same type of setup, but there's 2 years of Chinuch L'Shalos. That's the first approach. Again, 2 years of Chinuch L'Shalos, both for Bari and for Chola. The second approach is that here too, there's a chiluk between Bari and Chola. That Bari has 2 years of Chinuch L'Shalos, while a Chola only has 1 year. So that comes out of the Shita of Rav Yochanan, according to Rashi, right? Because again, Rav Yochanan is the one who rejects Hashlamat Darabanan. So he thinks that, like in the case at hand of Tinokes of Nekeva, right, you're doing at 12, she's going to fast, that's going to Hashlamat Daraisa. But yet he says that the Chinuch L'Shalos started either 10 or 11. Depending on Bari or Chola. So again, it's clear from Rav Yochanan that depending on whether you're a Chola or Bari will impact whether you have 2 years or 1 year of Chinuch L'Shalos. That's Rav Yochanan according to Rashi. And then also Rav Nachman according to the Rif. Again, I'm not going to see it inside now.
And Yochanan?
What?
And also Rav Yochanan, no?
Again, I think so. The Shita of Rav Yochanan according to the Rif is a little confusing for other reasons. I don't want to get into that now. But again, Rav Nachman according to the Rif also has this chiluk, because again, this is the unique Shita of Rav Nachman, according to the Rif, that Hashlamat Darabanan for everybody is only 1 year. That's what we referenced yesterday, because the Shalom Dravon is in the Raisa Tikkun, that just like by the Raisas, you don't find any difference between Chola and Bari. So therefore, so too, Shalom Dravon is always going to be one. And yet, he has a difference in terms of when you start for Chinuch L'Shaos. Again, it ends up resulting in the same idea of two for a Bari and one for a Chol. So that's just to put it, you know, put the Shabbat Torah in a more organized fashion. Again, just technically, again, first approach, it's always 2 years. According to second approach, depends on whether it's a Chola or a Bari. Not much to say about that. So the second issue I would like to discuss with Chinuch L'Shaos is the big issue, we already referenced it yesterday, is really, what's the nature of this type of Chinuch? Right, as we've been developing, and I, as you guys probably saw today from the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Beis, that generally, the general rule of thumb when it comes to the mitzvah of chinuch is that the mitzvah of chinuch only applies to a katan when the katan is able to perform the mitzvah b'shleimusa. Right, and one of the paradigmatic examples of that, which is given in the Braisa there, is that, as we referenced last time also, is that the mitzvah of lulav only applies in terms of chinuch when the katan can be minaneh, right? When he can shake the lulav. Even though that's clearly only a sa'ad din d'rabanan, even though mi'ikar adin, mi'daraisa, mi'da'agbe, nafikbe, once you pick up the lulav, your yotze, your mitzvah daraisa, yet the mitzvah of chinuch doesn't apply just when he's able to pick it up, but it only applies when he's able to do bishlei musa. Not only is he able to pick it up, he's also able to perform the proper shaking. So again, that really sets the precedent that really the rule of thumb, and again, this applies to all the other, you know, examples given in the Braisa there, you know, in terms of tzitzis being yodei lisatef, the proper way of being misatef also is, you know, is the shir. Again, it's clear that the rule of thumb by general mitzvah of chinuch is that the mitzvah bishlei musa.
Could you say that by, like, for Talmud Torah and for Kriyat Shema, then it's not shlei musa? Because, like, you're teaching with one line of Torah, and you're, for Shema, you're teaching him, like, a little bit of it, so he's not doing the
Shema. So this gets back to the larger issue about really the base chiyuv. Brachos says, you know, if you just, you know, if you just korea kriya shema shachas v'arvus, you would say Talmud Torah. So it could be, you know, shlei musa in the sense that you're, you know, yeah, not every single hiddur, because you have to, you're bringing up a very good point. You have to figure out what exactly is the gedder of shlei musa. But you would have to say, and I think this is accepted by everybody, this idea of shlei musa, so you'd have to say that when it comes to Talmud Torah, meaning the shlei musa is like the, you know, the basic unit, and that would even be, you know, even one puzzle.
Well, what's Torah Tzina Lan Rosh? Like, has that all?
Yeah, but it seemed like, I think that's, you know, that's part of the, you know,
it's the full mitzvah. It's not the full Torah, but it's the full mitzvah of the Torah.
The mitzvah.
You're not doing shlei musa.
I guess there'll be a difference between like a quantitative distinction and a qualitative distinction.
Isn't there two other things that Kriya Shema? It's not just the pasuk we can do the half, but also the ayah. So just saying the first pasuk may not even give you the arisa.
Okay, interesting. Anyway, I have to look into that.
I don't think anyone says they... I think the question is, where do you need Kalana for? I think everyone says you have to read the whole Shema.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But again, I don't want to get too far afield, but these are all good points.
A Kriya Shema or the Torah?
For Kriya Shema, the Raisa,
certain
headings
of Rigo Mechol. Yeah, it's like a big Mechol, because we're showing about how many parshas are. Yeah, 100%. So this idea of being B'Shlei Musa, that's like said by a number of Achronim, so I'm pretty confident about that. Again, it is a good area to explore in terms of why, you know, shlei musa is defined as it is in each of these categories, in each of these mitzvos. That's a good, I'm not going to do that now. I haven't looked into that, but that's a good enough place to be mayan more. But definitely safe to say that the general rule of thumb is that it only applies, chinuch only applies when the katan is capable of doing a shlei musa. But yet, as we've been pointing out, chinuch l'shaos seems to be a blatant exception to that rule. Right? Chinuch l'shaos. L'shaos is obviously not b'shlei musa. Shlei musa is obviously doing the entire day. And we pointed out before, it could be not only the entire day, it could be also inui on top of just physically fasting. Clearly, l'shaos, you're only fasting for part of the day, for a couple of hours, clearly not b'shlei musa. So the major question we have to explore is, what is the nature of the chinuch, of chinuch l'shaos, such that it really presents itself as a rule breaker, as an exception to the classical din of chinuch? So you're going to present two approaches right now, which basically suggest that, based on this discrepancy, you see that the chinuch l'shaos is not part of the classical din of chinuch. It's really a distinct, unique din of chinuch, and we're going to explore in what way. So the first approach, this one accepted by a number of mefarshim, is that there, in general, there's a din, a classical din of chinuch, and then there's a separate din of chanoch lenar al pi darko. And you're going to see there's a distinct category which is separate from the classical din of chinuch. And this unique din of chinuch l'naral pidarko is what chinuch l'sholos is including. So again, according to the following mefarshim, which we'll see in just a moment, a chinuch l'sholos is not part of the classical din of chinuch. It's part of the second din of chinuch, unique din of chinuch l'nar pidarko. So I had you see the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos, because the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos, in passing, when discussing chinuch l'sholos, references it as a din in chinuch l'nar apidarko. But from the Rambam alone, in Pirush Mishnayos, you don't know whether the Rambam thinks that chinuch l'nar apidarko is just a way of saying the classical din of chinuch, or whether he means it as something distinct. So again, from the Rambam himself, he quotes this idea of chinuch l'nar apidarko, but he's not, you know, a raya that chinuch l'nar apidarko is a distinct din from chinuch, because he doesn't really explicate much. But where you do see this concept that chinuch l'sholos is part of chinuch l'nar apidarko, and that chinuch l'nar apidarko is distinct from the classical din of chinuch, is from the Rabbeinu Menachem. So I had you guys, you know, bring Rambam Zmanim. Hopefully it's the Frankel. I think only the Frankel has the Rabbeinu Menachem. So if anyone...
Let's look mine in the room. I really needed it.
Okay, so actually I have it on Bar-Ilan, so you can borrow mine. So it's, let's try to get in here. Yeah, so it's the part which starts Masha Kasev Harav Kan Kedei Lechancho B'Mitzvos. The first words on the line is Masha Kasev Harav Kan.
Where is this?
Sorry, in Shvisos Aser, Perek Beis Halacha Yud. So again, first we have to see the Rambam, and then we'll look at the Rabbeinu Menach. So again, we're going to see from Rabbeinu Menach that he's going to really develop this idea that chinuch l'sholos is part of this unique category of chinuch l'nar al pidarko. So anyone want to start by reading Rambam? Menachem? Perek Beis Halacha Yud. Sorry, before you start, what we want to look for in the Rambam are discrepancies between the way the Rambam presents chinuch l'sholos and the way he presents Ashlama D'Rabbanan. Again, that's going to be where we're going to see that, Ashlama D'Rabbanan is a classical din of chinuch, while chinuch l'sholos is a distinct din. Okay, sorry. What?
Katan ben teisha shanim uben asher shanim v'chanchan also l'sholos.
Oh.
Okay, so
are you going to do that? Before you even say, so ketzad, that's what we know already. But it sounds pretty in a nondescript.
Right.
But if, what's missing here, first of all? He says katan.
He says katana.
He never mentions katana here. That's one, right, in the context of chinuch l'sholos, you know, we'll pay attention.
I assume they're both.
So Rabbeinu Menachem is going to assume
otherwise. Both have the same thing.
What?
In Pirush Mishnayos, he doesn't make a distinction between Boy and Girl also.
In context of Shlomo D'Rabbanan, in the context of Chinuch L'Sholos?
Both.
Okay, so that's interesting. So Rabbeinu Menachem is Medayek in the Yad. Otherwise, I mean, sometimes there are slight discrepancies between Pirush Mishnayos and the Yad HaZaka. So according to Rabbeinu Menachem's Diyuk, this would be a discrepancy. So here in the context of Chinuch L'Sholos, he omits any reference to Katana. And this is something more subtle you'd only realize once we read the end. He also doesn't refer to this as a midivrei sofer, which we'll see the contrast as the way he does describe the classical Hashlama D'Rabbanan. So, you know, Kate, yeah, let's continue on. Kate,
sorry. Kate, son. Hayarug alach or mishte shalosh b'yom, achilin also b'shalosh. Hayarug alashalosh, achilin also b'harba. B'pikach ha-ben mosifin la'anoso b'shalosh.
Okay, that's just the description of chinuch l'sholos. Oh, so now he's gonna, yeah.
Ben achas esrei shana, bein zachar, bein nekeva, misana umashta midivrei sofer kedei lechancho b'mitzvos.
So here, or when he transitions to Hashlama D'Rabbanan, here he mentions bein zachar, bein nekeva, which he doesn't reference earlier. That's diuk number one that Rabbeinu Menachem is going to make. And the second diuk, that here he formulates the takana as a takana midivrei sofer. Right, and yet the Rambam doesn't say that when he describes the takana of chinuch l'sholos. So those are the two diukim of which the Rabbeinu Menach is coming. And with that, he's going to develop this idea. So, do you have a Rambam? No? Then you want to go for it?
Sure. Mashkasav?
Yeah, so okay. I guess we'll try to pay attention. Read clearly. Not everybody has a Rabbeinu Menach in front of them.
Mashkasav harav kan, kelechanch b'mitzos. Is coming to teach us that there are two types of chinuch. They're bringing the Gemara. It's said in the Gemara, Amar Rava, Shrei Chinuchim Havel. There are two types of Chinuch. Chad the Inoy, Chad La Shlama. One is Inoy, which is the Shos,
yeah.
And one is Hashlama. The Chinuch HaShos, Ein Erchov Min Yerbanan.
Okay, this is very important, right? Chinuch HaShos, yeah?
Ein Erchov Min Yerbanan. El Erchov HaMutualas Al Kol Adam Me'asim Al-Limud L'Hagal Banav.
L'Lamed.
L'Hagal Banav. L'Lachas B'Derech Yosher. T'Chsiv, Chinuch L'Nar Al P'Derecho.
Okay, right? So what he basically just said, I'll explain this even clearer in the ensuing lines. The chinuch l'shaos, right, is not a classical chova midrabanan, which is going to describe. It's not the classical takanas chinuch. It's rather this new din of chanoch l'nar api darko, which he describes as, broad fashion, of basically teaching your child the derech yosher, the straight path. Right? Ukedei lachnisam. By the way, this is going to answer your question. Rabbi Manoach, I forgot about this, basically sees the example of Talmud Torah in the Braisa there as not a classical din of chinuch, which is going to help because you asked, that doesn't seem to be Shleimusa. But he's putting it in the category of Chanoch L'Nar Al Pidargo, which doesn't need to be Shleimusa. So I don't think anyone's going to agree to that, but that's one way to attach your questions. Again, important, again, we'll see, this is not so pashut, because the Braisa there lists, it seems to be listing the classical dinim of Chinoch, and it includes the Chinoch of Talmud Torah in the middle of the other one, so it's a big chiddush to say that one in the middle is really, is really unique, but that's what he says, yeah?
But Chinoch has that. Ainul mutul ella al habanim, lo al habanos. V'ayin darmina b'nazir. Ah, nazir. That's your nazir.
Exactly.
Shili perak mi shamar harin nazir. B'no chayav chancho bito ain chayav chancho.
He's going to say that's in this context a chanoch l'nar al pidarko. Right. Again, this is the idea. He's going to say in the Rambam.
Because you what Tosas meant when Tosas said that it's dafka by
the nazir shiny, could be. So again, this is where he's going to explain the discrepancy in the Rambam, that he says Bein Zachar Bein Akiva in the context of the classical Hashlama Zerabanan, but not in the context of Chinuch L'Shaos, because Chinuch L'Shaos is a distinct category of Chinuch L'Nar Al Pi Darko, which is limited to Zachar.
What is the difference of essence between boys and girls now?
What?
Yeah, that's yourself.
Yeah, he doesn't explain.
Chinuch L'Nar, not L'Nar.
Yeah, it could be that's where he's coming from, but I don't know why. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Alpha Gav Dereish Lachish Kamer La. Afu Lo Amra Ella B'Hai Chinuch Rishon Lo Hashlama. He only said it by his first Chinuch of Shalos. He's saying Lo Hashlama.
Yeah, I think so.
Alav Chinuch Sheni D'Hainu K'Shem Bnei Yud Aleph Shana Shchayim Lahashlem Nirvanan Shavin Bo Tinoch B'Tinoches.
Right, so you're saying in the classical din of chinuch, right? You're trying to, prepare, the katan and the katanos for mitzvos. So general mitzvos applied bein zchar and bein akevos. So there's no reason to distinguish. It's only chinuch l'nar al pi darko, which doesn't seem to be a practice for the particular mitzvah. It's more of the general derech yosher idea. For some reason, I still have to ask why, but for some reason that's different. That only applies to zchar. I think because the Gemara in Nazir limits Chinuch to Zchar. So I think he's saying that Gemara, the Chinuch discussed there, is the Chinuch of Chanuch L'Nar Al Pi Darko.
So even though
it
says
Chinuch?
Yeah.
Is he a
Rishon? Rabbeinu Manoach, I think he's in the Achronim, the early Achronim. I can tell you right now, quickly. No, he's a Rishon. 13th century. Yeah. He's a Rishon. Yeah?
I should keep reading?
Yeah. There can be some important lines at the end.
But who I didn't know Onshin? So too for our Onshin, that each are equal. Shem and Devere Sofer. Shein had didn't know same. Leos Tinokas Ptura is Anos, but Makom Shatino Chayov is Anos.
And when it comes to classical Chinuch, there's no reason to distinguish.
Chivneshi Nekeva, Hervicha, Lehipater, Menatinus.
Like a bit beyond. Does it make sense? Now he's going to tie this all into the Duke, and that we just pointed out.
Before. Is that
Shekhasa? Yeah.
Is that Shekhasa of a Rav Khan? Misana, Mashin, the Resofrim. Umala Kasa, Bechachna, so Velo Kasa, Bechachna, so Lashal, the Resofrim.
Exactly, right. Because only, right, Lashi,
Shein. Shein, 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 Sh שאין מדרבן חיוך חינך בלא השלמה. כלומר שיעשה המצל כתקנה, כמשפטה,
בשלמוס. Right, that's a very key line at the end. He's basically saying that of course chinuch l'shalos is not the classical takana drabanan chinuch, because as we've been saying, the classical takana of chinuch midivrei sofrim is only by a mitzvah bishlei musa. So therefore, of course, chinuch l'shalos is in a different category, and that's why the Rambam doesn't say divrei sofrim, because divrei sofrim means takana chachamim, which refers to the classical takana of chinuch.
And what is it?
So it's rather based on chinuch l'narach bidarko, which is more of a divrei kabbalah. The pasuk in Nach, yeah,
more
exactly. It's a divrei kabbalah. I didn't spell it out, but I think that's what it is.
That, maybe that's what everyone's mouthing to it.
What do you mean, everyone?
Because it. Okay, could be.
No one argues. So here you have the Rabbeinu Manoach again, which I think is a clear expression of this idea that chinuch l'shalos is not part of the classical takana of chinuch. Again, based on our analysis. Because the classical takana of chinuch requires a mitzvah b'shalei musa, and chinuch l'shalos clearly isn't. And he points out a number of nafkamina, including that chinuch that this distinct category of chinuch l'nar al pidarko is limited to zecharim, while the takana derabanan of chinuch applies to both zecharim and akevos. And then with that he also explains the discrepancy in the lashon of the Rambam in terms of divrei sofrim and nafkamina. And the other point was that agav he spelled out that he thinks that the example of the chinuch of Talmud Torah is also not a classical example of takanas chinuch, but it's rather part of chinuch l'nar al pidarko. Perhaps what bothered him was maybe your question about it doesn't seem to be bishlei musa, but he doesn't really tell you why. But that's what he says. So again, in this distinct category of chinuch l'nar al pidarko, you have both chinuch l'shalos b'yom kippur and the mitzvah and the chinuch of Talmud Torah. Fine. The one question that we have to ask before moving on is, it's understandable why, let's say, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah would be part of this broader issue of Derech Yosher. I mean, of setting your child in the right path in more broad sense. Not a specific practice of a mitzvah, but giving him the larger hashkafa. Right? Derech Yosher, more general hashkafa, moral compass idea. Because Talmud Torah is all about that, In the Torah, we find all the hashkafos, all our morals, everything's there. So that it makes sense why the mitzvah of Talmud Torah would be part of that broader, hashkafic, moral, mitzvah of chinuch. Chinuch l'nar al pidarko. When it comes to Yom Kippur, because you can raise the question, why is the mitzvah of tzom on Yom Kippur, any different than shar mitzvahs, that the tzom of Yom Kippur would be part of this, broader, derech, yosher, idea of chinuch l'nar al pidarko? That's a question you could raise. Again, the application of chinuch l'nar al pidarko to Talmud Torah is much more reasonable, because again, Torah is all about, the moral compass and our hashkafa. But again, where does, Tzom of Yom Kippur, why is that different than all the other classical mitzvahs, which is, you're practicing. You're practicing the mitzvah of lulav, you're practicing the mitzvah of sukkah, so why you're practicing fasting? Why is it any different? But based on something we've been developing before, that the Tzom of Yom Kippur, really, and something we'll discuss later as well, that the Tzom Yom Kippur is not just about a physical fast. Really, the day of Yom Kippur is all about, our general, it's a day where we're focused on a relationship with God, right? And therefore, it could be because of that, it's because it's the day of the year which is focused on our spiritual relationship with God, that's why the mitzvah of Yom Kippur, in contrast to all other mitzvahs, would be grouped alongside Talmud Torah as a mitzvah which has broader implications in terms of the general Derech Yosher. It's not just a practice of the prat of the mitzvah, but it's also a more general idea, a more general hashkafic Derech Yosher, because it's about Yom Kippur is a day where we really reckon with our general relationship with God. That's just a suggestion for Rabbeinu Manoach. So the second Mefarish...
He says that?
No, that's my suggestion to explain why he puts Tzom of Yom Kippur alongside Talmud Torah in this unique category of chinuch l'nar al pidarko, which he describes in this more broad sense of derech yosher. So the second Mefarish, who says that the chinuch l'shalos, again, is not part of the classical category of chinuch, but is rather part of the unique category of chinuch l'nar al pidarko, is the Rav. Right? The Rav develops this in Harei Kedem. Right? And the Rav similarly is medayek in the Rambam, that the Rambam in Perish Mishnayos, is Medayek from. And basically, the fact that the Rambam describes this chinuch l'shalos in terms of chinuch l'nar al pi darko, the Rav develops as saying that, oh look, chinuch l'shalos is not part of the classical chinuch, it's rather part of this unique category of chinuch l'nar al pi darko. And again, the question the Rav is coming from is a question we were bothered by also, is that, right, chinuch l'shalos doesn't seem to conform to the general category of chinuch, which requires a nisav ishlei musa. Chinuch l'shalos is clearly not that way. So the Rav, in similar fashion to Rabbeinu Menach, develops that as the distinct category of chinuch l'nar al pi darko that the mitzvah of chinuch l'shalos is within. But this is, sorry, this is Simon Samak Gimel Nahari Gadol to Amar Gomos. But the Rav, in a slightly different twist from the Rabbeinu Menach, again, right, the Rabbeinu Menach puts the two mitzvahs of Chinuch L'Shalos and Yom Kippur and Talmud Torah in this distinct category, Chinuch L'Nar Al Pi Darko. The Rav says it in a little different way, and he basically, again, this is the same piece which we referenced a couple days ago, where the Rav distinguishes between the Chinuch for Mitzvah Saseh and Mitzvah Lo Saseh. So this is where the Rav develops that the classical din of Chinuch is for Mitzvah Saseh. When the Rambam has a separate Chinuch for Lo Saseh, that's this distinct category of Chinuch L'Nar Al Pi Darko. And he says, interestingly,
the Rav says the Rambam.
This is the Rav. Explaining the Rambam. And he says that in that category of Lo Saseh is also the Isra Achila on Yom Kippur of Chinuch L'Shalos. So again, which is interesting, this is in contrast to all the Rishonim, which are basically saying that, what?
What's her name? Someone over here.
It tells Rishonim, exactly. All the other Rishonim, the Rav's not Rishonim. Right, all the Rishonim that we saw, exactly. Yeah, a couple of years. We're basically saying, all right, when they were being machal between Essen and Los Asay, they were saying, oh, Yom Kippur is an Asay of the Nisan Esan Shosei, so we're developing the positive Kiyam of Inui. But the Rav, as part of his analysis, he's trying to group Chinuch L'Shalos of Yom Kippur alongside the Lavin as being a distinct category of Chinuch L'Nar Al Pi Darko. So he just plays up the fact that, look, you're refraining from eating. It's all about, it's an Isra Achila. That's the way he says it. Which is important just to note that he's downplaying the positive Kiyam of Inoy and playing up really the refraining from the Achila.
Wait a second,
that's a question? Yeah, I'm going to finish the Rav and then I'll... Yeah, and just say, but the Rav develops, there are a number of distinctions between these two categories of classical chinuch and chinuch l'nar al pi darko. Some of them we mentioned, just to summarize. One distinction was the mitzvah b'shlei musa. Again, the classical din of chinuch only applies in mitzvah b'shlei musa. When it comes to this distinct category of chinuch l'nar al pi darko, as seen by chinuch l'shalos, even applies when it's not Shlei Musa. That's one distinction. Second one is, as I pointed out before, that the classical mitzvah of chinuch, classical takana of chinuch is limited to mitzvah saseh, while chinuch l'nar al pi darko applies to lo saseh. The third distinction, actually we'll skip that for now, it's going to just confuse us. And the third distinction that we'll mention now is that, let's come back to the earlier shirim, is that the classical chinuch of Essen is on the katan himself, while this distinct category of chinuch l'nar al pi darko is a din in the father. So he ties this all together. This is all the Rav.
He has different distinctions?
Yeah, exactly. He's in parallel fashion to Rabbi Menach, he's also separating between two categories. There's a category of classical takanas chinuch, and there's a new category of chinuch l'nar al pi darko.
So he gives two different options about what the distinction is?
No, he gives different, these are different examples of the distinction. They're all true.
Okay.
Just to summarize, meaning, Rabbeinu Menoach's distinction is that you have, right, is Chinuch L'Nar Al Pi Darko, which is about classical Chinuch, which is about mitzvos, and then Chinuch L'Nar Al Pi Darko is more general Derech Yosher, which includes Talmud Torah and Chinuch L'Shalos of Yom Kippur in. But the Rav has a different breakdown. He says the classical Takana of Chinuch is about mitzvos Asei, and the distinct category of Chinuch L'Nar Al Pi Darko is based on Los Asei. And there are other distinctions as well that go along with that. So again, so Ad Kan is the first approach. Chinuch L'Shalos is unique because it's part of this category of Chinuch L'Nar Al Pi Darko. So the second approach I would like to suggest, which I haven't seen anywhere, but it's possible to suggest that in contrast to both Rabbeinu Menach and the Rav, who are saying that Chinuch L'Shalos is unique, but it's part of a larger category of Chinuch L'Nar Al Pi Darko, which includes other mitzvos as well, right? For Rabbeinu Menach, it included Talmud Torah. For the Rav, it included all losas, right? It's possible to alternatively suggest that since you never really find, as far as my knowledge, if we answer your question, since we don't generally find any other chinuch which is really not bishleimusa, aside from Yom Kippur, aside from the chinuch l'shaos Yom Kippur, perhaps the chinuch l'shaos is a unique din in Yom Kippur. I'll explain exactly why that is in a moment. But instead of saying it's part of chinuch and aral pidarka, which is a little more general, perhaps it's specific. I'm just going to finish and then I'll. It's specific din in Yom Kippur, and the idea would seem to be that. Exactly. And the idea of this unique form of chinuch is that in contrast to the classical form of chinuch, which is about, let's say, allowing the katan to practice the mitzvah, and therefore it only applies to the mitzvah b'shleimusa that the katan will eventually do when he's a gadol, here the point is not about practicing the mitzvahs. It's rather about trying to get the katan involved in the day of Yom Kippur in any way we can. So again, the point is not in practicing the fast, which would require b'shleimusa. It's about involving a katan in any way possible on the day of Yom Kippur. I'll explain exactly why. And therefore, in any amount that he can be part of Yom Kippur, chinuch l'shaos, just do a little bit more than he normally does, just to be able to involve a katan in Yom Kippur. So why? What's unique about Yom Kippur? Why do we have this idea of we're just wanting to involve the katan in Yom Kippur? So the one basic idea, as we've been developing, is just the fact that Yom Kippur is a linchpin the rest of our year. It's the day where we focus on a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore it could be because of that, we want a katan to have at least some sense of that, to have a small taste of Yom Kippur. Again, not as a practice of the mitzvah of fasting, as much as it's just that as a katan, part of the chinuch is that we want him, you know, to be involved a little bit in a day where we're focusing on our relationship with God. So again, the first explanation in terms of why you have this idea of involving the katan in Yom Kippur is just the importance of Yom Kippur and, you know, its, you know, central importance during the year is the day that we focus on our relationship with God. The second suggestion could be, and this is part of a larger topic, is that other people point this out as well, but there's a unique focus on Yom Neram and specifically on Yom Kippur on the Tzibur. Right, it's all, we don't talk about our sins as individuals. It's always Lashon Rabim, Mashamnu, Baganu, Gazalnu. It's always we, the Lashon Rabim. Right, Achet Shechatanu. It's all in the plural. And many people develop based on that. Why don't we just say I sin? It's all. It's a day. It's a personal day. You know, everyone should have their own personal, you know, rendezvous with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why focus on ourselves? Why are we focusing on the Tzibur? So people suggest, it's not my Kiddush. Now, the reason why we focus on the klal is that because as individuals, we don't necessarily merit kapara. The only reason why we merit kapara and the opportunity to do tshuva is because we are part of klal Yisrael. So we're specifically tapping into the tzibur to say, oh, we deserve, or, you know, we are, you know, we should, you know, we're praying that we should get kapara is because we're, you know, attaching ourselves to the tzibur, to the klal of Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, based on that, you know, that theme of the tzibur, it could be that we involve the ketanim to highlight that we as a tzibur, which includes the ketanim, are coming, you know, for kapara to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Ma'adavar Domer, you have the idea by Hakel, where, you know, many people speak about, you know, the idea that you bring ketanim to Hakel, right? At the time where the entire tzibur comes to the base of Mikdash for the reading. The reading of the Torah. And again, a lot of Mefarshim explain, why do we bring Ketanim? We don't even understand what's going on. Because the idea there is about the Tzibur coming together. And because, including the Tzibur, even the Ketanim. So there you have this idea that when a particular mitzvah is focused on the Tzibur, we include the Ketanim. So perhaps here too, by Yom Kippur, because there's that element of the Tzibur, when it comes to Yom Kippur, we're trying to say, you know, we as individuals don't merit Kapara, but we as part of the cloud, do merit kapara. Therefore, we want to attach the ketanim to the tzibur in any way possible for them to be involved in the Yom Kippur process to highlight that role of Yom Kippur. Just one last thing, and I'll take the questions. So again, this suggestion is that it's the chinuch l'shaos is not part of a larger category of chinuch l'nar pidarko. It's a specific din in Yom Kippur, either based on the idea of just wanting the ketanim in any way possible to, you know, be attached in some way to Yom Kippur, either because of the importance of the day or because of the tzibur element of the day. And based on this suggestion, we can understand why the chis, since the whole point is just about attaching the katan in any way possible, it's not about practicing the mitzvah b'shlimus. Therefore, there's no din of requiring a mitzvah b'shlimus. There's no problem of katana being mufka from the kiyum of inui we discussed last time in the context of Hashlamah d'Rabbanan, because the only time you need to be shayach to inui is when you're dealing with Hashlamah d'Rabbanan, which is trying to, which is the classical chinuch, exactly, which is the kiyum d'Raisa, which is about the mitzvah b'shlimus. So when you're dealing with the mitzvah b'shlimus, if that's the goal, mitzvah b'shlimus, then a katan is not going to be shayach if he's not shayach to the kiyum of inui as we discussed last time. But if the whole entire goal of Chinuch L'Shavos is not, we're not even attempting a mitzvah of Shleimusa, so the fact that Ketanim aren't shayach to the Shleimusa, to the Inui, is not going to play a role, because the point of the goal of Chinuch L'Shavos is not about, you know, trying to practice the mitzvah of Shleimusa, it's about attaching themselves to the idea of Yom Kippur in any way possible. Okay, now I'll take questions. So, Binyamin?
When we do Shabbos, is it that as a
yeah.
Seaboard, is that within the Inui? I mean, so this is the reason why the Ketanim do shows, which is a different practice. Right?
Yeah.
You don't do Inuit together. Everyone does their own separate Inuit. It's a din as a tzibur, it's followed by din that we're doing this here.
Well, as we develop, Inuit might be related to din. We were discussing, you know, the other day, that was part of the Chalkos Yoav, we'll get to it, that the idea of Inuit could be part of the Kapara process. Remember that was the Chalkos Yoav?
Yeah, but still, Ketanim are not part of the Kapara process either.
Understood. That's why they're not shy after the mitzvah shleimusa. I'm just trying to highlight from the Hashamnus is that there's a component of there's this theme of the role of the tzibur, of us coming together as a tzibur, you know, in our hamadah b'dith. So I'm saying similarly, the reason why we want the ketanim to be involved in any way possible is to bring them into the process of Yom Kippur and
the mitzvah just to go to shul for 25 minutes. Like,
I'm saying, but if you understand that the Inui is related to the Hamadah B'din, so then I think if it's about coming, or no, we're coming with Lifnei Hashem as a tzibur for our din, so therefore, meaning, I think it would make sense for Inui to play a role in that. But that's a very good question. I think that's what I
have. So if they said that the reason why we have Kapara is because it's in group, somehow can someone did something like only that he said in a certain way, so
no, everyone has their own individual sins, but the question is, I mean, when we're coming to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and saying, you know, it's that, meaning, we as a tzibur, each with our own chesronos, and each with our own sins, but we're coming together as part of, you know, Klal Yisrael wants kapara. Not that every person in Klal Yisrael has the same sins, everyone has their own, but it's that we're coming not as individuals, we're coming with our own individual sins, but we're coming, you know, when we're coming to the court, as you said, we're not coming as an individual litigant, if you want to use that mashal, but we're coming as, you know, as a tzibur, as a nation. Even though, you know, each, you know, member of the nation has, you know, has, obviously has their own individual, you know, chesronos, but we're coming as, you know, as a group.
Question.
Yeah. Remember?
Then why, like, that's not chinuch then?
That's what I'm saying.
But like
that, that's why it's not.
No?
Oh, you're wondering why?
Yeah.
In the Gemara calls it chinuch.
Yeah,
that's a good question. Meaning, as you have to say, it is a version. I mean, we're saying the fact that it's not mitzvah bishlei musa proves that it's not the classical din of chinuch.
Right.
But the way I guess the idea of chinuch is that, meaning, I guess if chinuch is the broader term of, you know, describing, you know, katan's initiation into, you know, doing a partial mitzvah. Yeah, it's a good question.
Is the mitzvah of not eating Yom Kippur, is that both an aseh and a lotus aseh?
Okay, so. Really, as this is the Gemara in Pe'alaf, really it's v'nisim es nafsho seichem. That's an essay. There is no azhara in the Torah. There's no lav against eating.
That was the rav that learned.
So he's going to say that because, let's say, the tzura of what you're doing is refraining from eating, so even though formally it's an essay.
Oh, in the category.
Yeah, okay. The way I neglected to mention that, the way the rav has an interesting formulation, he describes chanoch l'nar al pitarko of lav as being a din like kedusha and precious.
What's
it's like separation.
Oh,
like yeah. So the idea, so you can probably explain a little. You can probably understand a little better now. But since he describes not like a form of lav, it's about precious and kedusha. So therefore, since refraining from eating is a form of precious. Again, it is important that he's downplaying the positive kiyum of inui. I think that's definitely noteworthy. But that's how he would take it. Okay, so let's just try to finish up because our last year on the topic. Oh, so last. issue I wanted to discuss within Chinuch L'Shaos. Right, first one was just the timing. Second one, what's the nature, has this relate to the general mitzvah of Chinuch. And the third issue I like to discuss is how do we relate to the partial fast of Chinuch, right, of Chinuch L'Shaos, right? You're fasting for part of the day. So we're going to see, there are two ways to look at that. Is it that when the kid is fasting for those 3 hours, we view that as a full-fledged tzom, full-fledged tainus, full-fledged fast day? Or do you say, no, the fact that it's only half a day, and the fact that he's eating after in the fourth hour, that shows that the first 3 hours, there's no such thing as a half fast. It's not really a fast. We see those are going to be the two perspectives that are going to have concrete, you know, nafkamina in terms of the Isser of Sfiyah B'Yadayim, which you referenced in Pashirim, about the question of, is there a formal Isser for a gadol to hand food or to feed a katan during the 3 hours of his fast? Is there a formal Isser? And that's going to depend on whether we say during those 3 hours the full-fledged fast, and therefore there's a formal Isser of Sfiya B'Yadayim, you know, of causing the katan to be, you know, to violate a tainus, a regular Isser. Or you went, no, but if you say that, no, there's no such thing as a partial fast, and it's just, no, it's like a form of chinuch, but it's not really real, therefore you're going to say that there's no Isser of Sfiya B'Yadayim because it's not an Isser Gemur. Let's just first...
Do we mention
So that's going to be part of, that's going to relate to the previous analysis that, let's say, like, I'll just come to mind, like the Rav, part of his discussion is that his category, one of the nafkamina between classical chinuch and chinuch l'nar al pidarko according to the Rav, is whether it's on the katan or it's on the father. So the way the Rav says it is that chinuch l'nar al pidarko, I mean, which the chinuch l'shaos is part of chinuch l'nar al pidarko, and that's a din in the father.
So if it's a deal on the father, then instead of the father giving him food, you just let the son take food, and then maybe, I don't know if that
would... What was that?
I said if it's on the father, then you let the son take food as opposed to giving him food.
But again, I think part of it's like, especially for the Rav, it's that not allowing, the responsibility is on the father to not allow the son to be over. To
not allow him or not give him food?
Not even to allow him. That's why he says, like, the father must stop the son from eating an avela, even if he doesn't give it to him. That's included. So just to spell out the shitos. So the first option is that a partial fast is a full-fledged fast. For those 3 hours, it's a full-fledged fast. So I don't know if you guys got to see it.
Does that include rechitza and everything like that?
So they're talking about like the fast in terms of the achila. But yes, if you recall, we mentioned that rechitza is not l'shaos. The chinuch of rechitza, because there's no you cannot take a shower for the entire day. There's no issue of you can't stand more than
two. Like tinol,
minil sandal. I think everyone is what the Rama says, that everything besides for achila and shtia applies the entire day for chinuch.
For katanim.
So the only time you have a partial.
So even from the time the kid's like one.
I'm not sure when it starts. But when it
from if you're doing
chinuch, if you're doing exactly if you're doing chinuch, it's going to be a full day.
It's going to be a full day for
shoes
and
exactly. So the only time this question comes up of how do you relate to this partial day is only by achil and shtia.
Who says if you do the full fast?
Let's say. So the person who says that it's a full fledged fast is the minchas chinuch.
Right? So who?
The minchas chinuch. There's the sefer chinuch, and then on the side is the parish of the minchas chinuch. So the Minchas Chinuch there develops that during the time that he's fasting, it's a full-fledged fast, and therefore there's an Isser of Sfiya B'Yadayim for a Gadol to feed a Katan during that time. Okay, we'll leave the Lashon. Okay, that's an important Minchas Chinuch. But in contrast to that Shita of the Minchas Chinuch, you have the Shaar HaTzion. Right? So the Shaar HaTzion says, no, the fact that he's going to be eating after 3 hours shows that obviously this is not a real fast. A fast is all or nothing. And therefore, the Shaar HaTzion basically argues on those who apply an Isser of Sfiya B'Yadayim to the Chinuch L'Shaos and says, no, there must be that there's no Isser of Sfiya B'Yadayim because it's not an Isser Gamar. It's important, I'll just read the Lashon inside. Shaar HaTzion, this is in Taf Reish Tes Zayin, Sif Katan Tes. He says, V'lo Kein Hacha, you don't have this concept of Isser of Sfiya B'Yadayim. She'im bezet iser klala katan. There's no formal iser for the katan during those 3 hours. But adraba, this is actually getting to your point, Yoni. Adraba, halam uchiyav la'achilo la'achar gimel shaos al kol panam. You're feeding him after 3 hours pass, so you can't really call this a tainus. Muchach de in shayach al achilaso shein iser. There's no formal iser when the katan eats even during the chinuch l'shaos. Raku mitzvah al aviv l'chancha b'mitzvos. It's a requirement for the father to, you know, to get the son used to it. So therefore, we, you know, tell him to not to feed the child for those first 3 hours. There's no formal iser achila, and therefore there's not going to be any formal iser sefiyah b'dayim. So again, these machlokas between the minchas chinuch and the shaar tzion again are these two perspectives and how you relate to a partial day fast. Adkan is the third category of chinuch l'shaos. So now we're going to finish up with the last category of lo higia l'chinuch. Right, are the ketanim who are below age, below 8 or 9, right, who are not supposed to be fasting at all. And the question is, we're going to see, is it just that there is no chiv for them to fast, or is there even an iser for them to fast? So we're going to see that this could be a machlokes rishonim. So it all starts off in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah's first line, which says hatino, and the lashon is important, where it says hatinokos. Ein ma'anin osan v'yom ha'kippur. Right, so the first line in the Mishnah says, when it comes to tinokos, which is clear from the rest of the Mishnah, is referring to, you know, children which are lo higia l'chinuch, which are not of the age to be subject to any form of chinuch. It says, ein ma'anin osan v'yom ha'kippur. We do not subject them to eating. So it's interesting the way that different Rishonim, you know, paraphrase or reformulate that line in the Mishnah. So starting off with Rashi, someone want to read Tani? Want to go for the top Rashi on Pei Beis Amud Aleph? Ein ma'anin osan? So let's focus in the first two words. All right, ein chayav. Right. So the simple interpretation of Rashi is that for a katan who's lo higia l'chinuch, that's all right. The simple reading of Rashi is not that there's an iser for him to fast at all. It's just there's no chiyuv for him to fast, right? There's a chiyuv of chinuch l'shal, there's a chiyuv of l'shal and d'rabbanan, but below, when it's lo higia l'chinuch, there's no chiyuv, but presumably there's a heter if the child would want.
There's no chiyuv for the adult to withhold food.
Yeah.
It's not that there's not a chiyuv for him to fast.
Meaning, but there's also a heter for the parent to withhold food if, you know, if he decides that, you know, his katan can handle
it. The way it's formulated, it's not as the absent. I mean, sure, that's I think that I agree that that's one implication of what Rashi's saying. But I think more specifically, I think it's significant that Rashi isn't formulating his interpretation he's clarifying the Mishnah's permission to the absence of a chiyuv on the parents.
Yeah. But remember, in light of what we were saying before, according to many, that's just because the chinuch of shaos, which is coming to contrast the seifa, is a din in the father.
Oh.
So it could have, that's just the type of chinuch we're talking about, which is din in the father. So, of course, that's why it's formulated in terms of the father. But yet, the way it's formulated in terms of in chayavin, but sounds like there is rishus if the father and child, you know, would want it. There's one other diuk in this Rashi. Right? First diuk came from the first two words of in chayavin, but I think in terms of the broader issue we were discussing before, right, the Rav highlighted this, about whether the tomi of Yom Kippur is like the Rishonim are focusing in terms of, is it a positive kim of inoy, or is it really focused on the refraining from eating? So I think it's a very important diuk. Then the second half of Rashi, again, I should go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah formulates it in terms of inu, right? In, what do we not do? In ma'amin. That sounds like what would have been, you know, how does the Mishnah formulate the tzom in terms of the positive inu? So that, I think, works out very well with, you know, the approach developed in a lot of the Rishonim, that the focus is on the inis and as natural sechem, to all akim asay of inu. But Rashi, interestingly, flips it. He doesn't say in chayavin la'anos. He says in chayavin, how does it read?
Limnoa
mehen maicha, which I think is an interesting diuk that Rashi, and we have to keep this in mind when we're, you know, trying to, you know, throughout the parak, trying to develop the nature of inui. Rashi seems, again, in line with the Rav's focus, seems to be focusing on the negative, on the refraining from eating, instead of the positive of eating, which I think is like an important diuk to keep in mind.
Well, it could be because we know that there's not
Okay. Interesting. That is interesting. That's an excellent point, Binyamin. Only thing I would say in contrast is that it is interesting, the Mishnah still said Ma'anin. So sometimes when like a Rishon is coming to like Lav Dafka, a Lashon of a Mishnah or a Gemara, it's something even more telling than if it was just saying. But it's an excellent point, something to keep in mind, and especially gives us flexibility if we find Rashi focusing on the positive Inui in other contexts. But with that said, I definitely think it's still significant, especially in contrast to the Lashon of the Mishnah. But that's an excellent point. In contrast to Rashi, who focuses on seemingly just the lack of chiyuv for lo agiyah l'chinuch, you have the Lashon of the Rambam. So you go back to the Rambam in Shvisas Aser, you know, Perek Beis here, Halacha Yud Aleph. Anyone have it open? You go to the last line when it says, Katan Shu Pachos Mi Ben Tesha. Anyone have it open?
Yes.
Sure?
Yeah.
Katan Shu Pachos Mi Ben Tesha. Katan is less than 9 years old. Eime Ano Sobim Kippurim Teshlo Yabal Desakana.
Exactly. Right? So instead of saying, like Rashi, that there's a lack of a chiyuv, it sounds like, don't do it because there's a counter pressure of sakana. That we are worried that if a katan shalo yigia l'chinuch, if he doesn't come of age, we don't want you to do it lest he come to a situation of sakana. So it sounds like the simple reading of the Rambam is that there's an isser, and there would not be any heter to allow a katan to fast if he is, you know, younger than the age of chinuch the Shabbos. And in line with that, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah seem to adopt this approach of the Rambam, Lamaisa, to say that it's not just as a lack of chiyuv, but there's an iser. So Shulchan Aruch and Ramah read as follows. As again, it's in Tafresh Tezayin, Sif Beis. So the Shulchan Aruch says, and with this we'll conclude, Katan Shu Pachos Mi Ben Teisha, Ein Ma'anan Osa B'Yom Kippurim, right? We do not have any Inui, that's just a Lashon of the Mishnah so far. Then he adds, this is the Shulchan Aruch, adds the Rambam's formulation, the counter pressure, Kidei Shelo Yavo Lidei Sakana. Right? Don't do it because of the issue of Sakana. And if that wasn't clear enough, the Ramah adds on that, Afilu Imrotza Lahachmir Al Atzmo, and even if someone wants to be Machmir, Mochen Biyado, we prevent them from doing it. So again, clearly the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah Lamaisa are accepting seemingly the Rambam shot over Rashi in the simple interpretation as saying that there's an issur. Yeah.
He says because of sakana. Exactly. That means if there's no sakana, then there should be no issur.
How do you define that? How do you know?
So I guess that's the question of how would you know, and that's when Ramah is saying don't even try. I mean, But I guess the point is that the age of Loi Gilachinach is basically the Chacham's way of saying that there's an issue of sakana.
Then they shouldn't say the reason. If they're saying the reason it doesn't apply, then you say maybe it shouldn't, then you could do it. If it just said it...
The reason always applies, though.
I mean, you don't know. Times are different than they used to be. Yeah. Maybe now people are different. Yeah. Maybe now people are stronger.
So again, as I told you in Seder, so there is, I didn't say this, but there is a Tosafos Yom Kippurim on this, on the Mishnah, Dirum Askel Masnisen, who thinks that really Rashi and the Rambam are not arguing. They're only talking about different cases. I don't think this is Pashtus, but Tosafos Yom Kippurim, and once you bring it up, basically says everyone agrees to each other. They're talking about different cases. What are the cases? The case is based on whether the katan wants to fast. When the katan says, "Daddy, I'm hungry," so in that case, there's an issue of sakana, and that's what the Rambam says. There's an iser. When does Rashi say in chayavim, but implying there's a heter? That's when the katan says, "I want to do it. I'm fine. I'm feeling great." It doesn't sound like that from the Rambam. But the way Tosefus Yom Kippurim thinks that there's no one argues, and therefore, l'kulei alma, if the katan wants to do it, it's fine. But as you're saying, the Rambam, for sure, basically clearly says that even if you want, you don't do it. So he clearly assumes that the Rambam is answering in all cases.
Did you say that the Rambam would agree that if he knew in a certain case that a child is not a sakana?
No,
it says that even if you want, afilu imrotza l'hachmir al atzmo. Presumably because he knows Mochen Biyato. So it seems like the Ramah is taking it, is passing it against Tosafos Yom Kippur.
According
to Tosafos Yom Kippur, only when the Katan doesn't want to do it, and it's saying, don't force your kid. And Rashi is talking about a case where the Katan wants to pass. I guess we'll stop here.
Do we have Moshe Shmeis
now? Yeah, I think so. One second. Okay, what's going on here? Sorry.